Shalom Aleichem, Abiyah 15613. We welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Menachas Chavches, Menachas 28a, pagination is 55. We'll start from about a fifth of the way down, Masnisin at the Mishnah. Shiva Kane Menorah, Ma'akvin Ze'es Ze'. The seven branches of the menorah are interrelated as a mitzvah to the point that they're necessary one for the other, and it's not considered a mitzvah if you don't have all seven. Shiva Neroseh Me'akvin Ze'ezeh. Likewise, the top part where the ner is, where you're actually going to put the oil and the wick, that spot atop the branch is also Ma'akvin Ze'ezeh, necessary one for the other. And now we enter into the famous section of Menachas dealing with what we view as daily mitzvahs, not limited to the Beis HaMikdash, but mitzvahs that everybody encounters, even in our time where the Beis HaMikdash is not standing, namely mezuzah, tefillin, tzitzis, and Sefer Torah as well, although not particularly in today's selection. Shtei parshios shebe mezuzah ma'akva zu azu. The two paragraphs of mezuzah are necessary one for the other. That means that if a person were to only write one, it's not the mitzvah of mezuzah. Whatever his issue is, whatever his challenge is, but that's not the mitzvah of mezuzah. Afilu ksav echad ma'akvon. Even one writing is going to infringe on the mitzvah, and we'll have to figure out what that means. Dalet parshio shebet tefillin ma'akvin zu azu. The four paragraphs of tefillin are going to infringe one on the other. In other words, that you need all of them. In the shel yad, in the arm tefillin, they're written on one parchment consecutively. In the shel rosh, in the head tefillin, they're written on four different parchments. But all four paragraphs are necessary, and the Mishnah states again, afilu ksav echad ma'akvon, even one writing would infringe. Dalet tzitzios ma'akva zu esu sha'arbaton mitzvah achas. And the four tzitzios, the four tassels of tzitzis, are necessary one for the other, and they're all considered one mitzvah. Indeed, that's how it's paskened in Shulchan Aruch Siman Yud Gimel Se'if Aleph. Arba tzitzios ma'akvin ze'ezeh. The tzitzios are infringing, forgive the pun, one on the other. Shekol zeman she'im bakalo arba, as long as you don't have all four, eino mitzuyetzes kehilchasa, it's not considered properly tasseled, not properly fringed. Ve'ayotze balushos harabim, b'shabbos chayiv chatos, and if you were to walk out on Shabbos with only three, for example, then it's considered carrying, because it's not a mitzvah unless you have all four. There's a story I once heard, Rabbi Soloveitchik, famously from YU, from Rabbi Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan. So he had to deal with many different leadership responsibilities in the Jewish world, including the movement of women's liberation from the women's liberation of the improper form, the women's liberation of that women should be paid equally for equal work is obvious. Voting rights, things like that, we support. But when it comes to women trying to claim that they've been abused in Torah, when that's not the case, people have different roles and we all have to complement one another. We don't sit complaining that I'm not the Kohen Gadol, and we don't sit complaining that I'm not a Levi, not a Kohen. that I'm not the president of the shul. The Bostoner Rebbe used to joke that he feels that he's being discriminated against because he never gets shlishi like every other grand rabbi gets, but that's because he's a Levi and they give him the second aliyah. So Rabbi Soloveitchik was once approached by some women who were creating a movement that they wanted to start wearing talis, even though that's not the practice. The Ramah clearly writes that they should not. So, as the story goes, Rabbi Soloveitchik advised them that breaking the trend in Judaism, which is exactly what they're looking to do, is a very heavy, powerful experience. And to wear a talis just like that, it could be totally overwhelming. Historically, just such a trendsetter. So they should go slowly. And they should put on one tassel, but only after like a month, after they've worn a four-cornered garment without any tassels. And then after a month, they would put on one. And then after another month, they would put on a second and a third. And then they should get back to him and he'll be able to discuss this with them. And as the story goes, they indeed did it, and they came to him, and they said it was such an awesome experience. The four-cornered garment without any tassels was really powerful, but when they put on another one, it got even more powerful, and the second, and they could really see how after the third, they're reaching climax, and it's just amazing. And Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out, again, I can't verify it, but as the story goes, his point was that the four-cornered garment without any tzitzis is meaningless. It's not a mitzvah at all. It has no power. One tassel, two, three, it's totally nothing. And it's all in a person's mind. Unless you're doing the real mitzvah because the Torah wanted you to do the mitzvah. But if you're doing it because of an agenda, he proved his point by Dalet tzitzios ma'akvos zu es zu. Now going back to the part of the Mishnah that stated, Kesav Echod Ma'akvon, even one word, one writing, is going to infringe, is going to make a difference. So Rashi points out that it's based on Ksivatama, a complete and definitive writing. And if you'll look in the margin, you'll see that what's brought over here is already the conclusion of the Gemara, which we'll see in a moment, even though it takes a bit of a journey to get to it. The statement in the margin, Pirush, the second line, Im os achas tivuka lachaverta ve'ena mokefes gvil. If each letter doesn't have its independence, they're too close in one place, that's ksav echad ma'akvan, that any one spot in mezuzah or tefillin, or sefer Torah for that matter, would passel the entire unit. So in the case of mezuzah and tefillin, since they have to be written kesidron in order, such an infringement would mean that you have to erase until the point of the mistake, fix it up, and it can't be that you just do the separation. You would have to erase enough that it's not a letter and then write it correctly. We have a rule that you can't create letters, chaktuchos, by default. So, of course, it depends what exactly the problem is, but sometimes if they're totally merged and you don't have tzuras ha'os, it becomes very distinctive what the sofer has to do to make it kosher. And then he could continue writing from there. In a Sefer Torah, you're allowed to just correct the problem. It doesn't have to be kesidron in order. Obviously, by tefillin and mezuzahs, it's not so simple to erase until the point of the mistake. If the mistake wasn't caught until Hashem's name was written, there is no recourse because you're not allowed to erase Hashem's name. Let's turn the page, and you'll see on tomorrow's daf, Chavtes Amud Aleph, pagination 57, the continuation and the explanation of this theme regarding mezuzos and tefillin and how precise the letters have to be written. Towards the bottom of the page, about 10 lines up, added two dots, Shtei parshio shebe mezuzah ma'akvos zu esu, the two paragraphs of tefillin infringe on each other, they both have to be there. Both of those sections have in them the mitzvah of mezuzah, so we know that those are the two sections that have to be written to form a mezuzah. Va'afilu ksad echad ma'akvan, and even one writing would infringe, asks the Gemara, pshita, of course, even one writing. If you didn't write the entire mezuzah, so it's not a mezuzah. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, lo nitzrecha ela lekutza shel yud. There's a statement from Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav that we're referring to the thorn of the letter yud. Now, they borrow terms. Thorn means a very little protrusion. So by a yud, Rashi says, this refers to the right side of the yud. It has to come down. Asks the Gemara, Vanami pshita, that's also obvious. It's not a yud if it's just a glob of ink. Elo l'chi'idach d'Rav Yehuda Amarav. Indeed, what the Mishnah is referring to is something else that was taught to us by Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav. Domer Rav Yehuda Amarav, kol os she'ein gevil mukafla. Any letter that doesn't have space, parchment around it, so that it has a platform, if you will, that it's standing on, me'arba ruchoseh, from all four sides of the letter, psula, it's going to be posel, and this, by the way, includes if the sofer wrote the letter all the way to the edge of the parchment, so that the letter is not surrounded by parchment, that too is an issue. So Rashi learned that kutza shel yud, in the part of the Gemara that we were describing how well the letter has to be formed, was referring to the right side of the yud. Asks Taisvis, bottom Taisvis, Pirish Bekunchas Rego Yemini, it's going on the right leg. Vikosha, and that we have a question on Da Pshita, that's obvious, the Inza Os. That's not called a letter, it's just a glob. In other words, even though the Gemara is going to ask Pshita, that's obvious, but Taisvis held that's not even substantiated as a Havamina, as a thought to which the Gemara needs to respond, Pshita. The Ein Zaos, it's not even a letter. And therefore, Tosfos learns that Havamina in the Gemara differently. Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam du Rosho Kafuf. It's the part of the letter that's bent over, meaning the left side has Kutzo Shel Yud, a specific design that's formed, that it would be recognizable as a yud without it, but it's not the way the yud is supposed to be formed. To comment in a more general sense, as we learn about how the letters are formed and the importance of doing the mitzvah correctly, we get a sense that it's comparable, I guess, lahavdil, but like calligraphy, it's a meticulous piece of art, which explains why it's treasured so much in the Jewish people as a mitzvah, and as a mitzvah that has to be done with quite a bit of precision. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.